Africa's News Roundup. Africa's News Roundup. Only on Channel Africa from the African perspective. The African perspective.
Good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Africa News Roundup. I'm Kumbero Munjerere. Now, Liberia's opposition coalition that organized the protest against President George Weah last Friday over high food prices and government corruption has given President Weah a four-week deadline to meet its demands. Thousands of opposition supporters took to the streets for the first time since the former soccer star won elections 18 months ago. As Liberian journalist Joel Cholo Brooks explains, the demonstrations are a big political test for Weah's administration.
The protest on Friday, June 7, was well attended. I think it is the first time in the history of Liberia to have such a number attending the protest. But the unfortunate thing is that the petition that were prepared by the protesters were not delivered on grounds that they wanted to have the president himself receiving the petition. So that's how it went. I mean, it wasn't good for the ordinary Liberians because they complained that why the petition that was prepared by the protesters was not delivered. But however, there was a press conference yesterday or Sunday where the organizer had a press conference and they said that the petition in question will now be circulated to international organizations and even the president himself. So they gave the president up to July to respond to some of their demands. And those demands include the dismissal of his finance minister and the dismissal of his central bank governor. I mean, those were some of the demands.
At least 95 people were killed in an attack on an ethnic Dogon village in central Mali in the latest deadly violence to hit the restive region. It is the latest in a spate of deadly attacks in the region, which has seen escalating tensions between ethnic groups. Violence between the Dogon and Fulanis has compounded an already dire security situation in the country's semi-arid and desert regions, which are used as a base by armed groups with ties to Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. For some reaction to this tragedy, Channel Africa spoke to Germaine Mwehu, spokesperson of the International Committee of the Red Cross in Mali. He says the international community should do much more to help resolve the crisis.
At the moment, it's difficult to know where are the responsibility beyond this attack. The RCRC has an office in Mopti, in the center of Mali, and according to reports from local authorities, the reports from media, it was said there was unfortunately another attack yesterday in that village called Sobameda, which is a village mostly with people from the Dogon community. It isn't clear at this step to know exactly who is behind that attack, which caused more than 19 people killed, which is very, very, very big for the situation. You know, in Mali we have the United States, the United Nations mission, the UNSMA, which is here in Mali. We have the French army, which is also active in the north part of the country and also in the center. We have what we call the G5 Sahel, organization with five armies of the region, Mauritania, Niger, Mali itself, Burkina Faso, and Chad. So the international community is really involved in this crisis in Mali. But I think we need more. We need more involvement from the international community. We need especially more involvement from national authorities. We need more involvement from community leaders so that the discussion can be resolved.
That's Germaine Mwehu, spokesperson of the International Committee of the Red Cross in Mali. The United Nations Secretary General joined his High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, in welcoming the decision by the High Court of Botswana to decriminalize consensual same-sex relations between adults. In a major victory for LGBT rights advocates, Acts, High Court judges ruled that criminalizing same-sex relationships was unconstitutional just a month after a court in Kenya rejected attempts to repeal a similar colonial-era law. Shawn Brice-Peace sent us this report from New York.
UN Chief Antonio Guterres and Michelle Bachelet called it a landmark decision that should free lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people in Botswana from the range of discriminatory sanctions and practices arising from what she called the highly problematic provisions in the country's penal code. In a statement, she said that punishing people based on their sexual orientation has a deeply negative impact that goes far beyond the risk of arrest and punishment, echoing sentiments from the joint UN program on HIV and AIDS. Listen to UN spokesperson Stefan Dujarric.
The Secretary General joins the High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, and the Acting Executive Director of UNAIDS, Gunilla Carlson, in warmly welcoming the landmark decision by Botswana's High Court to decriminalize consensual same-sex relations. Botswana is the ninth country in the past 5 years to have decriminalized consensual same-sex relationships. Consensual same-sex relationships remain criminalized in at least 67 countries and territories worldwide.
Two members of the elders were asked to weigh in on the decision, including Liberia's former president, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, in this exchange.
Madam Sirleaf, you are on record as saying in 2012 that you will not sign any law that would deal with decriminalization of homosexuality in Liberia. Quote, we like ourselves just the way we are. We have certain traditional values in our society that we want to preserve. Now that you no longer have the political incumbency, perhaps, as albatross around your neck, and as an elder, has your position changed?
It hasn't. As simple as that.
So LGBT people do not have human rights?
Oh, that's not true.
So what are you saying exactly?
We're not going to go to a law because there is no law. There is no law that decriminalizes or criminalizes at all. We believe that those matters are private matters. They are to be respected on the part of individuals. And as long as there is no law that restricts it, there's no reason to try to get a law.
The Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights is among a host of organizations that lists Liberia as among those countries where same-sex relations remain criminalized. I'm Sherman Brice-Peace in New York.
Now, a 50-year-old woman infected with Ebola has died in western Uganda a day after her 5-year-old grandson died. They are the first two cases reported in the country since the virus spread from neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo, where nearly 1,400 people have died. Our East Africa correspondent James Chimanyula sent us this report.
The death from Ebola of the 5-year-old boy has been confirmed by Uganda's Minister of Health, Jane Aseng, at a press conference in the capital, Kampala. The minister says several other people that crossed into Uganda from Congo have been tested for Ebola, and results show that they are positive.
In the Ebola treatment unit, the 5-year-old who tested positive first, who passed away at 9:30 p.m. last night. Right now, his grandmother and his younger brother, 3-year-old, have also tested positive, bringing us to a total of 3 confirmed cases. We have 7 suspects.
Uganda's Health Minister Jane Aseng explains what her ministry plans to do now that Ebola cases have been confirmed in the country.
The Ministry of Health, WHO and CDC will undertake ring vaccination of contacts to the case and other non-vaccinated frontline health workers, as well as other workers beginning 14th June 2019. Uganda's preparedness has been converted into a response mode.
That was Uganda's Minister of Health, Jane Aseng. Francis Iwa, Uganda's director of an NGO known as CARE and Assistance for Forced Migrants, says there is a possibility that many citizens of the Democratic Republic of Congo may have crossed into Uganda using routes that are not controlled or monitored.
There are a lot of informal crossing points that people pass through. They have relatives across the border and they cross anyhow. For us, we are stationed at official border points that the immigration people have gazetted. Sometimes they cross when we are not at the station. We close the border at 7, and so our screening teams also leave the border points at 7.
It may be important to point out that the declaration of the first case of Ebola in Uganda is likely to put pressure on the World Health Organization to declare the Ebola outbreak the second deadliest in history. Reporting for Channel Africa, this is James Shimanyula.
And that's about it. Join us again next week as we bring you another wrap of the week's top stories. From me, Kumbero Munjalere. Goodbye for now.